All right, here we go.
This is the one.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, especially Tony and La Mesa out there.
What?
Was that what you had to say?
Why does Tony get a special shout right at the beginning of the show?
Because we gave a big shout out to, like, the patrons and everything last time, and we didn't mention his name, and then he texted me saying that we hate him and all that stuff. So I said, fine, I'll lay into it extra hard next time. So anyway, hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to our fun little show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Check us out on patreon.com/Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com or a voicemail at 619-438-0532. I think that's it, but big shout out to our patrons. Tony, thank you very much. And we have Kathy and Jess and David and our honorary bingers. So you guys are awesome. But check out our Patreon.
We need more Tony and La Mesa calls.
Yeah, we do. He's over that. He retired. He only did because BJ told him to call for my birthday.
Yeah. So he was like, fine, I'll call for
if I have to.
That's the only reason. But we do love you.
Tony in La Mesa. La Mesa.
Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
Tony.
Do something cool.
I'm just going to hit that over.
Tony in La Mesa. Mesa.
Play it for
them. Do a couple minute piece on something, we will play it, Tony.
Yeah, we will.
So
you don't just have to call the voicemail to just rant and rave about me being racist.
Yeah. Have your own segment.
Yeah, you could have
your own segment. You already got your theme song.
It's true.
Do whatever you
want. We got it all set up for you, brother.
Make it happen.
Brother.
I love it.
But with that, let's start this show. So take a breath with us right now.
Life's a binge. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
Yes!
Yeah. Laughing is good.
What's up?
What did you say? Laughing is good?
Laughing is good.
Laughing heals all wounds.
Absolutely.
Maybe not all, but lots.
It certainly helps. Everything helps.
What's up, my dudes?
My nerds.
My nerds.
What's crack?
It's hot.
And the non-nerds, too.
It is dang hot.
It's hot.
It is.
Spitzing.
It's hot,
you can
and
see.
Like Hemet's burning down.
If you go to my Instagram now, you can watch live. You can see me sweat in this chair.
Oh, yeah. No,
well,
it's hot out here.
I was going to say, it wouldn't be quite live.
There's Jared.
Hi.
For the people listening right now, it would be.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
Well, you can't go.
Yeah. But you can check it out.
You get special sneak peek.
They can, yeah. If they're watching you right now, they can
see you before anybody else. Are you on your account or the
Yeah, it's Rich Souble Photography.
Rich Souble Photography.
But I will pimp.
Well, and then also, if you want to, like, watch it, like, see, like, if you're listening to this,
yeah,
like, ooh, maybe I want to watch a little bit of live.
I want to watch
some of it. So, cool.
There you go.
But what's up, dudes?
Summer, it's almost over. It's almost over, it feels like.
Sort of.
But once July is over, summer, yeah. Like,
I guess we'd have another
away.
Couple days, huh?
Yeah.
Isn't
before
it?
July. Today's the 30th?
Yeah.
It's 29th.
That's a better angle.
So it's the 29th.
Yeah. I can't keep it down. I mean, you can get away with it. You can get away with it.
But now I look like a giant.
I'm going to crush you.
You kind of are a giant, though.
I'm a tall person.
But summer's going good.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more month.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm going to miss all the this is a bad idea.
Got some people watching here.
What's up?
Hi.
What's up? Hi, Julia and Sarah. What's up? I fell down.
You did.
Me too.
Yeah,
look at my face.
I know.
See
well,
this?
You'd fell
I'm glad
down
your thing,
the
your
last
thing
time.
Is gone.
Yeah,
I was running because, you know, the doctor's like, you're fat and gonna die.
Right.
And so I was like, okay.
Did he say it just like that? Then?
Absolutely. No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Some will.
I mean,
I heard it that way.
He didn't. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I got to do stuff. So I've been, you know, actively trying to be better about, you know, what I'm eating and exercising and everything. And I've been going running a lot.
That's good.
And I was running, and there's like a little freaking, like, quarter-inch raise in the sidewalk, and my left foot decided to clip that, and then I just fell straight down like a head-first slide into home plate, man.
That's what got me, too.
Now, did you get some...
Oh, my knee is totally fucked up.
You got
I got a little road rash on my elbow, on my whole side here.
Side?
Yeah,
oh.
It's all jacked up.
No head action?
Oh, no, I keep that baby safe.
That's good. It's important. That's important.
It's the actor training in me to like...
Protect my moneymaker.
Protect the face.
Fall on the side of my butt.
Yeah, exactly.
Please have my mortal soul, but please protect my face.
Protect the face at all times. Yep. So I fell down. Nice. That was fun.
That's falling down. Like there's something like invigorating about it. Like you, I feel like everybody falls down.
Oh yeah.
But I remember falling, like it had been a long time.
You see like a person.
Well, then when I fall and I just remember being a kid all the time.
Oh yeah.
And hitting the deck all the time.
Man.
And then you kind of get up and sometimes you're a little sore, but like you get up and
get it, brush it off. Yeah. And keep going.
Flipping my bike for like the handlebars. So dad, if you're listening, I blame you because they weren't tight enough. So the handlebars like fell forward.
No.
So then all my weight fell forward and the bike like end over ended my wrist.
It came off the wait a minute.
No, it stayed on because they were connected like in the middle.
But it just was so they just too went, loose. Yeah.
Like that.
I see what you're saying. Yes. Yeah. Oh.
So then the bike went that way.
That makes my skin crawl
then
just
I
like
went that way.
Hearing that. Like,
I high-sided on a bike too because I was riding home from my buddy's house because that's what we did was rode bikes. I was riding home from my buddy's house because he lived in apartments that had a pool. And so I had my pool stuff in a plastic bag on the handlebars and then it like...
So this is as an adult. Yeah.
No.
Ryan says
no
bikes.
Oh, okay.
It got sucked into the front wheel, and over I went.
Yeah.
That is just
it's the worst.
It was like straight out of Indiana Jones, but I did it to myself. What else is up? Oh, I bought a lathe so I can make wood chess pieces and stuff.
Ooh.
So a lathe is like a little spinning piece of...
Yes.
Machinery. How big is this?
One that I got is up to 37 inches.
Really? Whoa. That's big. So you could do like
giant. It goes short, but it can go up to 30. So I can do like table legs.
Giant
and stuff.
Table legs.
7 inches.
Huh.
37. Like I'm making
37 inches.
You know exactly. What I'm doing.
but yeah, it's really cool. So I bought it and then I was like, I'm going to mess around with it. And then I messed around with it and I made a little thing and I posted it on Facebook and I got really excited.
Nice. Did it make you want to get a little molding wheel? And I just think of spinning things and doing art while you're carving the...
I have no desires to do that.
You don't want to do ghost? Or
No, not so much the clay. I like wood.
Wood is good.
I like wood.
So speaking of wood,
I put that down my arms.
Right next door. It is tough. You know, we have things
we'll
if you want.
It. We'll do that next time.
Just gotta clip them on.
But our friend Becky here has a show coming up.
Nice.
And so by the time this airs, it's going to be at Wednesday, because this comes out on Monday.
Yep.
On Wednesday at Urban on University, Urban Pizza. And she
out
is
here. There's an here Urban Pizza out here.
URBN.
Yeah. There's one of those in
there's
one
Urban.
Yeah, there's one on on University.
Nice.
Good
and
pizza.
So she's doing. It is. I want to try it some more. But
I think there was a clam pizza. It's like real. They insert because there's
clam
real
and
thin crust.
Sauce?
I
it's
had
like
that
yeah,
one.
I think that might be it. It's so good.
The mashed potato pizza with like little bacon bits.
Yeah.
It's No, I'm not a fan of mashed potato pizza.
Come on, man.
I thought you were going to say you're not a fan of mashed potatoes.
Have you tried theirs?
I love mashed potatoes, and I love potatoes.
Have you tried theirs?
I think so, but I haven't. But I'll try it, because I'm going to go there on Wednesday. But anyway, she's working on pieces in her wood thing there. So she sent a message to all the neighbors saying, hey, by the way, guys, I'm going to be working for the next, 46 hours,
so
48
it'll be loud,
hours.
Yeah.
So it'll be loud, and everyone's like, go, do your thing. Go do
that's
your thing.
Cool.
Yeah, and then we're going to go see it on Wednesday, which is kind of fun.
That's why you talk to your neighbors.
Yep. Yes.
Talk to neighbors. Know your neighbors.
Yes. Yes.
I went. Where was I? So, it was this morning. We were walking the dog, and we're stopping and talking to our neighbor on the corner because Lindsay's back.
I was just going to say, Lindsay's
back
from Namibia.
Yes, Namibia.
Namibia.
There we go.
Namibia.
And where else?
In Kenya.
In Kenya. Oh wow.
Yeah, she's like the pictures are amazing and
stories.
She got to pet the elephant. And then she's been like sponsoring monetarily from like. For years.
Oh, really?
Which is crazy. Like her face in the picture is like so. I'll post it so you guys can see it. She's so like.
Through what organization has she been sponsoring the?
It's the David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust.
Huh, interesting.
They're at DSWT on Instagram if you'd like to do the same.
Yeah, if you want to support an elephant, then go visit it.
Help the wild animals because life's tough over there. Like, she saw it. Like, the stuff that she was telling me about was crazy.
I bet.
Traffic in Nairobi. Like, was the thing that she talked about the most was because they have, like, you know, lines and stuff, but they're really just, they don't mean anything. Whatever.
And is it all like scooters and carts? And
it's a lot of scooters. So it's kind of like when you go to, like, friends who go to Southeast Asia a lot, like Thailand and stuff like that. It's there's people on scooters and they just go
wherever.
You have to just go. That you have, if you want to get anywhere, you have to just be brave.
Kind of like,
Have you ever driven in Mexico, like in Tijuana?
Not very much.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
It's like, just be brave and take a chance.
You just gotta go for it.
Just go.
Right.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
So she's back, which is nice.
She's back, which is great for me, and I feel...
Walking the dogs, talking to neighbors.
The neighbors.
Talking to the dogs again, wondering what they've been saying this whole time.
Right. Talking about me. Yeah. Our other neighbor brought his mom, and she was talking about how it's cool that we all, like, talk to each other. And she was like, you have to, like, if you don't know your neighbors, like, I don't know, you're not really living there. I don't think.
Yeah.
It's true.
Maybe that's just me, and well, not everybody feels that way, but...
This guy does.
Yeah.
Well, it also depends on your neighbors.
It makes life easier.
It does.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It does. Because sometimes you have neighbors that they're just not interested in, like, you know, hey, look, I'm here to keep to myself.
And sometimes they play music Tuesday night at 2 in the morning.
But even if you're just cordial, like, with them, it's like, hey, I'm going to be going out of town. Like, you don't have to, like, do anything.
Just
like,
keep
just
an eye
out. But just keep an eye out. I'm going to be gone for a week. If you see people going in and out, it's not cool.
Yeah. Like, I don't know those people.
Right.
That was nice that he told me that.
Yeah, or you tell them that someone's watching the house,
right?
So that when they do see someone going in,
you might see a stranger coming in at 2 a.m.
Call the cops or something.
Dude, there's a lot of flies, man.
They call their buddy Spider. By the way, Spider,
flies.
got a place for you.
Spider,
free for the next week.
Do you have a safe, like a safe word? Like, if say you got kidnapped.
Yes. Okay. I thought we were gonna get real personal here for a second, Jared.
No, like, say you got kidnapped, and then they're like, you have to call so and so to create ransom or whatever.
Oh.
And like, do you have like a pineapple sorbet or
so
something?
So they know that it's really you.
Where like when you call if there's a gun to your head and they're like, don't say anything about the gun into your head.
Yeah.
But you can say like pineapple strawberry shortcake or whatever, and then strawberry shortcake means I have a gun to my head, but I can't say I have a gun to my head.
I do not have that word.
I don't. I know the phrase that it would be, though. I would say, I loved the Avatar The Last Airbender movie, because everyone knows that's not true.
That's not for Shublay.
But see, that's...
Something's wrong.
I was watching something, like some I Survived or something, and like... the wife and husband had
a word.
A thing that was like, see, that would be weird. You're like, hey, Lindsay, I loved The Last Airbender movie. Like, out of nowhere, that's weird.
That's out of context.
She's like, okay, honey.
Yeah.
Cool. Calls the police.
Right, but like, that's weird. Just like, somebody that has a gun to your head would be like, why did you say that right off the bat? That's weird. True. So it's like, you got to pick something that like fits into normal conversation. Hey, honey, I'm probably going to be late coming home for, what are we having for dessert? Pineapple sorbet? That's great.
Yeah.
Like, that's something along those lines.
That's so funny, and probably more bizarre than any like tangent that I got.
We forgot about the train. Yeah. We are on it right
what's
now.
What's up right now? We can talk about anything.
Tell me
what
you want.
You suck.
But, what inspired that?
Oh, I mean,
it feels weird.
We were talking about neighbors and knowing your neighbors and having
and
heads
you heard
up
about
stuff.
And
things are out of the ordinary.
Yeah, that's weird that somebody would... I would imagine that couple that set that up and somehow had some like large financial... like. They must be worth
something.
Or maybe they saw a story somewhere where.
But like, I was like, that's a good idea. Like, I should come up with one of those in case.
You know, they kidnap when you go to Mexico all the time.
In case.
So let's figure something out.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad it worked for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
And when it doesn't work for Andrea and I, of course, neither of us.
You're not going to remember what it was.
What are they going to get? All right, you got my iPhone. Take it, dude.
You can have this
fold-out
chair.
Yeah.
I would just be like, oh, man, I'm supposed to say something right now, and I forgot what it is. Or like Samantha would say, like, pineapple sorbet, Jared. And I'd be like, yeah, I'll make it, okay?
Yeah,
jeez, leave me alone.
I'll get it at the store.
I'll get you some pineapple sorbet. No, pineapple sorbet, Jared.
I have a gun to my head right now.
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
The Jade Falcon is in the glove box, Jared.
Look, I gotta go.
Yeah,
damn it.
I'm in line at the grocery store. I'll call you back.
Sounds like kidnappers. I don't think he understood. I don't think he
understood. I got to call him back real quick. Okay?
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Anyway,
assuming that, you know,
that's what's up.
That's what's up. What's up.
And we'll move right along.
This just in.
I don't have any news.
I do.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I didn't. Really? You don't? Oh my
no,
god!
I don't think so.
Okay. Box office news. That Mission Impossible Fallout is killing it. Yeah. Is box it? Office. Is it's it? Supposed to be really good too.
It. I mean, they're all good. Yeah. Has there been a bad one?
Like, yes. I don't know. Mission,
I was going to say maybe Mission good. Impossible 2. Yeah. 3 was okay, but I feel like JJ took it a little cheesy.
I don't know.
There was a lot of cheesy parts in 3.
Bill Seymour Hoffman is awesome.
No, it's very true. But the third one has like the cheesy, where he has like the one-liners. And I'm like, this isn't a one-liner franchise.
That's true.
But
I saw the way that there's that part where he says to him, it's like, you have like a girlfriend or a wife or a loved one, because I'm going to find her.
Yeah.
I'm going to hurt her. It's the way he says, I'm going to hurt her, where you're like, oh, God. Yeah. Like,
that was,
really
that
is.
Was actually
like,
pretty good Philip Seymour. I tuned into that. I was like, ooh.
Totally thrown it in there. But and people were talking about like Tom Cruise doing all the stunts, and I don't know like how I really feel about that. Like, it's cool that he wants it to be authentic, or is it that, or is it just like I'm thrill seeking? Because like that puts
he's always said that though
on the production.
It like, does.
If you just get a professional stuntman who's done this 100
times.
But
he's always done that, and like his thing that he said before was like, it's kind of egotistical or whatever, but like he's like, I'm a movie star. People are paying to watch me in a movie.
So they want to see
me. And they want to see me in the movie.
Right.
And like, he's taking it to the extreme with these Mission Impossible stunts.
Yeah.
But like, I dig that kind of. Yeah. Like, where
how
like,
old is he?
Is he's 50s.
50-something.
That's another part of it. Like, you don't got it quite like you used to.
Right.
Once you cross 5-0.
No, I sure don't. Dang.
But, like, I dig it. Like, if it's, like, something, you know, jumping over 7 cars on a motorcycle on fire or whatever, sure, let the guy, do it.
He did a Halo jump, like, over 100 times.
Yeah.
Now, what's that now? Over helicopter blades?
Halo is high altitude, low oxygen.
Okay. Yeah. More like Halo.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Over the helicopter blades? Is that what it is?
The helicopter.
helicopter. The helicopter. Hello jump. Hello. Is that kind of...
But they did it, like, a bunch of times, and, like, that's like a lot of... That's a huge risk to do that many times. I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, all they show... Well, they kind of make a joke about it in the trailer. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this movie, because you typically don't watch trailers.
I watched like the first, I mean, you know, I watched the first
main trailer.
But like his wife, or they're bringing back his wife or some, I don't know who she is. But anyway, she's talking to Ving Rhames, and she's like, how's Ethan? And it shows him like, you know, jumping off of a building and hanging onto the helicopter and falling from a rope. And it's all Tom Cruise. And then he's like, you know, same old Ethan. So they're making a joke that he's doing these crazy extreme things.
Same old Tom Cruise.
And so they're aware.
Like, yeah. But it's like, I dig it. I kind of dig it.
There was and maybe you heard it or not, and maybe Tony and La Mesa heard it or not, but there was on sports radio, they were talking about movies, and they're talking about this franchise, like what was better, Rocky or Mission Impossible.
Oh yeah.
And they were going on so we got to get them on.
If we're talking like pure numbers as far as like which ones are good movies, I would say Mission Impossible.
It's a good conversation.
Bad Rocky
there certainly are, but I don't think that any of the
Rocky
I would say
is pretty rough.
What I would say is that like
Rocky V.
None of the Mission Impossible had the cultural effect that Rocky had. In my opinion,
the first one,
first
the
two, first three,
and
first one.
I would say the first, and
first
honestly,
two.
The last one too is
Balboa.
The last one's a great
Rocky
movie.
Balboa.
Yeah, that's
do
a
you
good
consider that's Creed as part of the Rocky movies?
Kinda.
There's Creed 2 coming out too.
Creed was really good.
I enjoyed Creed a lot.
Creed 2 is coming out.
And I don't know if I saw the last Rocky. What was that with storyline?
Rocky Balboa.
And that was he boxing in it?
It's I'm old and I want to come back and do this one last time.
And who does he box?
Oh God, I don't remember.
Some young,
like a much younger guy.
Yeah, some young stud.
Huh. But, you know, he goes the distance, which is what Rock is all about.
Right? I think I probably saw it.
It's a good movie.
It's good.
Forgot it. But
it's not like Rocky 1.
But whatever. I think it was maybe Scott and BR. Maybe.
I just think it's funny that people are like, I don't want to watch Rocky because I don't want to watch boxing. I'm not a boxing fan. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, technically he's a boxer, but Rocky the first one is not a boxing movie.
No. It's a freaking art house movie. It's like a small budget movie about relationships with people.
Yeah.
It's like a human interest piece.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good.
I love that movie.
It's a very, very good movie.
Yes.
So you should see it. But so this one, I guess it's mainly that movie. Well, like, there's none of the Mission Impossibles have the effect that first movie had.
Right. Well, and then Tony took that and expanded on it. He's like, what's the best film franchise of all time? Is what Tony was asking on his Facebook. And I'm like, of all time, like, you can't.
That's a big question.
It's a good question. I mean, it's a good conversation piece, for sure.
Of course, yeah. Because you got, just right off the top of your head, you got Star Wars, you got Lord of the Rings, you got Harry Potter, Rocky.
And what constitutes the best? Are we talking, consistency?
It's subjective. It's purely subjective.
Of course.
Let's hear your argument. Because there's stuff that's based off of books.
It's like, well, this translated from books better than this one did. Or there's just, Rocky that's, a totally original.
Yeah.
Of in and of itself, movie friend, or Fast and the Furious, as dumb as it is, those movies kick ass,
and people love them.
I honestly have not seen those movies. They've had
a huge influence on the movie industry because I don't know if it was them that really started the focus on China, but it was around that time where people were like, "Oh wow, these movies do really well."
Yeah,
around the world, we can open up the box office.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, that's the most financially successful movie franchise, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that. I think I remember hearing about that.
That's true, but
I know that they had the biggest worldwide box office open because they did what you said, Rich, and they put it in China on opening weekend, which normally they used to get them months later.
Yep.
But then they were like, wait, these movies are huge in China. We could, fudge the numbers, so to speak, on a global box office numbers if we open at the same time over there.
And that's how you get green lighting for future projects. So I was like, look at how well this did.
It earned so much money, right? But those movies are cheesy and dumb, but as long as you know that you're going to go in there and get a stupid, cheesy Vin Diesel car movie.
I'm not looking for the Green Mile.
I'm looking for a car that can jump from one building through the window to another building.
That's why I go to that movie three times.
Show me that. I want to see The Rock
in a cast, and then someone calls him, and they're like, so-and-so's in trouble.
And so he breaks and flexes his muscle out of his cast.
Yes, it does. And he says the line, talking to his daughter. And he's like, he flexes his muscle out of the cast and then goes, Daddy's got to go to work.
No! Yeah. I must see this. Now, which one is that? Is there only one with him?
He was the revitalizer of that franchise, kind of. Okay.
Sure. All right. Maybe I'll have to watch
his. I think his first appearance is in 5, maybe 6.
That sounds right.
But I think it's either 6 or 7 where you're like,
yeah.
And it's fucking great, dude.
That's really cool.
It's The Rock.
There's beef between him and Vin Diesel, which I think is purely fabricated just to get more hype for the movie.
Oh, of course.
The beef is that, The Rock's trying to take over my franchise, and I don't want him to.
Yeah, because he's better than you.
Take over my canon of how Vin Diesel talks. Real deep.
It's about family. It sounds like a drunk Rocky, basically.
She got sick of cars.
Is that him? That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I want to
work on some more impressions, some in my pocket impressions, but that's not
whip him out nice. Whenever you're
exactly whenever boom here it is I got this bam I got this so
you,
news wise
did you have any other news
yeah for sure Movie Pass. Have you been following MoviePass? It's been in the news a lot.
It's been in the news a lot. It doesn't make sense when they were like, people couldn't get into this movie because they ran out of money.
Yeah, exactly.
They're locking people out of Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
They didn't want them going to that movie.
Interesting. MoviePass. But I heard they had to borrow. And the number that I heard, which just seems ridiculous, they had to borrow $5 million. I'm like, that seems like peanuts.
Shoot, I'll borrow $5 million.
I'm gonna borrow it from who?
Big banks. Yeah. But still, that's. I mean, we were talking about this before, that the whole idea, if they're trying to they have to lose money for a long time.
Right.
Right.
So, but I think they're losing money at such a rate. It's just not.
I mean, at some point, the plan had to be like sell our subscriber base.
Well, they tell. Okay, so in that interview that we talked about last time,
right?
That like
I don't know how else you can make money.
Well, they would sell to movie theaters and movie studios, and then you'll notice sometimes on MoviePass they will promote a particular movie.
Oh yeah,
and so they pay for that.
Yeah,
like okay. What's the new one? Oh man. I forget what it's called. Anyway, I saw a trailer for it because MoviePass like shoved it in my face over and over again.
Yeah.
It was it's like a race racial. The guy gets out of prison and then.
Yes, I am. I'm gonna pull up my MoviePass right now.
It's like outlaw.
Is it the one Lakeith Stanfield or no?
I believe so. Anyway,
I don't know how to tell it, but yeah.
But so yeah, they
sorry
they
to bother you.
No,
that's a different one.
Nope.
Which I heard is awesome. I want to go see that.
I want to see that for
it's
sure.
It's more racially
charged.
Yes, absolutely.
That segues Black into Klansman? My next news piece.
No. That's the one that I want to see. I don't see one on here that's out to anything.
That's the one that they keep shoving down my throat.
Yeah,
interesting.
Maybe they
have different target audience.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. I'm like blind spotting middle aged white guy. Maybe that's it.
Blind spotting with the guy from. It looks like it's the guy from Hamilton.
I think that might be.
Jefferson. Who played Jefferson and
I don't know.
I haven't seen him.
Oh yeah.
I want to see him.
I believe that's the movie Blindspotting. Okay. I believe so.
That's definitely at the top of the movie pass.
See, thing. That's the one.
Blindspotting. So I imagine, that they paid for a certain amount of money, but apparently they're not doing it enough.
The movie pays movie.
The company
pass
did.
Movie
yeah, the company, the company did.
Right.
Yeah.
Studio.
Yeah.
So the studio pays for that to
try and get people to go see that
right.
movie.
Yeah.
Right. With their movie pass.
And they're also tracking your movie choices in order to cater.
Right,
you know, stuff that they think that would be effective to you.
But anyway,
which is the same thing that's happening.
Go see as many movies as you can because they
if you
are
have
going
it,
to
yeah,
really
do
like
it.
Yeah, like,
it's in its death throes, guys.
It is. It's gonna go. Well, and I'm kind of bummed because it's summertime, and for me, summer is crazy busy.
I know. Well, I haven't been using it because I'm busy. So
if
much,
it was wintertime,
it's still AMC and their little.
Well, here's my thing though. If MoviePass dies, which it's gonna,
is anything gonna fill the void?
Well, is there gonna be another one? Is AMC's gonna keep going,
and that's $20
bucks
a month.
Are they gonna be like, there's no? Yes, it's $20 a month.
That's a
three movies a week. No.
Oh, and
no
restrictions.
Any format.
Three movies a week.
I think that's worth it.
That is definitely worth it because I would never go. I mean, but then again, I don't know if it'd be worth it that I would always go to two a month because I think I'd have to go to two a month to make it worthwhile.
I would definitely go
I'm
to
sure
two
you
a month.
Would. Yeah.
I wonder if I would. I mean, I know I go through streaks where I'm like, I haven't been in 6 months or more, so.
But I'm just curious if MoviePass dies, because AMC only has theirs, so to speak,
because of MoviePass. Right.
And if MoviePass is gone...
AMC would be like, well, good.
Are they going to be like, we don't want to do this anymore.
We're not doing that.
Come pay us $20 for a ticket.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to... If the subscription trend is going to continue without the bottom
you know,
of the barrel
without
pricing
the need for
of
it.
MoviePass.
It's such a
right.
weird... The setup for it is so weird, because I feel like... Some sort of basic, Groupon, I guess, for movies where you're, or Hotwire for movies where you are having seats that are going unsold, so you sell them for a cheaper price and everybody wins. That makes sense, and that's why I thought about MoviePass. It's like these seats aren't going to get sold anyway,
right?
So somebody goes and they buy popcorn and they go see the movie and they probably see some kind of advertising, all this stuff that there's some kind of you can kind of make sense of it, but. I don't know. We'll see.
I hope it sticks around.
Me too.
I'm sure they'll make changes to it and stuff. But
it'll at least come back in another form, even if it's not MoviePass. Because I think, you asked the question, will AMC keep going?
Right.
If they don't, somebody will, because they can see, this is something that
people want it,
and they will pay money
for it. We have to figure out how to make it work.
Someone's got to make it work. Right.
So in other news, sort of.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've all heard of, and maybe I don't know if you've seen it or not, but Sacha Baron Cohen's new show on Showtime.
Yes.
Have you seen any
of it? I haven't seen it. I've only heard about it.
I didn't know he had a show.
I've heard
so you
great
have, you
things.
Hadn't heard about it.
No idea.
I've heard good things about it.
So it's a new show on Showtime featuring Sacha Baron Cohen, who
is
famous
for... Is he playing somebody?
He absolutely is.
Okay.
He absolutely is. He's playing a few different people.
Oh, okay.
And he interviews folks. And so I've watched two of these episodes so far. I think there's two, maybe three out now, but there's two or three episodes. And it's been in the news a lot because he gets people to say and do ridiculous things. Like, for example, he had come up with, he plays this Israeli defense specialist guy that looks ridiculous. Like his, he looks like, but you know,
like super stereotypical.
Well, no, just like, a lot of makeup and his face looks just weird, but it doesn't look like Sacha Baron Cohen enough to where, you know, it would work.
Right.
And he, but he is selling the idea of arming 4-year olds. Like, so he's taking like the answer is more guns to an extreme and getting
people to
agree. to make statements about our program for arming 4-year olds or arming is, and so they just say these ridiculous things but completely seriously.
Right, of course. Well, that's what he's that's what his movies are all about, right?
And he gets this other like guy who's like an anti-terrorist, like he plays an anti-terrorist specialist. So he gets one of these Republican congressmen and he convinces them like that the terrorist is afraid of the buttocks. So show your buttocks to them and he's afraid that if he touches your buttocks he will become gay. And so if he has a gun, you pull your pants down and rush him with your buttocks like backwards, like. And then, like, I will touch you with my buttocks. And this guy does the whole thing and bares his ass and shows everything and he yells. And then he says, and they're very susceptible to the N-word. So if you shout the N-word, if you shout the N-word, it will be doing. And the guy shouts the N-word. And so, and he says, what are you saying? No, no, no. The N-word is nununi. It's, so that is all brilliant.
That like, is it's messed brilliant. Up. That's great.
So, and he gets Dick Cheney to like admit, like, he's like, say, like, is it fun? Like, you know, bombing everyone. And
they
like,
don't know it's. See, how I don't
do you
know.
Not know Sacha Baron Cohen.
I don't know. You know, yeah. I don't know. But so anyway, it's like provocative. Getting, and like, some of it, though,
he's
like
getting like people like Dick Cheney. Like that's a big name.
Big.
I mean, I totally believe Dick Cheney not knowing Sacha Baron Cohen.
For sure.
I'd buy that. Yes, but
and then it's funny because he strokes their ego.
But there's cameras and stuff there, and like these are career politicians. They're not going to be like, I need to show my bare ass and run around shouting the N word on camera.
He was
a career politician.
But that's not anymore.
Well, right, but like, there's got to be some knowledge or something there. Like, there's got to be.
You would think, but that's definitely, at least, at the very least, the angle of the show is that they don't. And so we'll see if it turns out that, like, you know, I don't know. As much as Dick Cheney makes my skin crawl, I could almost kind of see him playing along in a way.
So, well, that's the thing. Like they
to go with it.
Like they have to know. But, I mean, there's the other fucking guy is, camera crew there.
Going
like,
with it. Like you just.
Well,
you
I mean,
just
no. Well, they do set
career.
It up like as it's on a television show. So they're
of
like,
course.
They're on like they're on a television set.
Right, but like you can't just like sit down and be like, okay, we're gonna interview you. We're from whatever TV made up show name. Blah 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 blah. Now take your pants off and run around shouting the N word to combat terrorism.
Yeah,
like no one's going to believe
that.
That's
how he. That's what. Yeah. I mean,
in front of cameras,
I can't imagine there's any reason he would ever like purposely do this, even as a joke, like the congressman. Like,
but that's the thing. Like, why would he on for reals?
Because he talked him into it. He talked him into it. Like, he talked him into it.
I mean, I guess he sold it.
He plays to like what you want to hear. He plays, and that's what he does with all these people, with Cheney and all of them.
Well, with
he plays to what they want to hear.
Movies and stuff. He does the same thing.
And he gets people. Yeah, right. Exactly. So it's a lot of the same, and some of it is a little bit like, man, come on, like that's just. Like, that's just not entertaining to me at all. I'm about to airdrop you something.
I was like, I heard something.
Yeah, it was both of us probably.
Yeah.
Or maybe you were trying to airdrop me something.
I haven't touched nothing.
It's me.
I haven't touched nothing.
So I think, let me see if there was another news thing or if that was it.
One more news thing.
Anything
since we mentioned both Racially Charged and Mission Impossible. Ving Rhames was held at gunpoint by cops in his own home.
What?
Because a neighbor called the police saying that a large black man had broken into that house. And it is his house.
Yeah. Oh, my.
He's like recounting. I think it happened like a while ago. But he's like recounting the story.
Like how far
GQ
ago?
GQ recently. It didn't have like the timing of it. So I wasn't sure.
Because a lot of it's
how long
like,
ago it might have been. Like if it was like, I mean, he was like young,
a then... black,
yeah, if it's
a large
young...
black man just broke into my neighbor's house. Who lives there? A large black man.
Which also goes back to know your neighbors.
Exactly.
Talk to your neighbors.
If you don't know your neighbor's fucking Ving Rhames, you need to get out of the house. You need to get outside and shake hands.
So he was already famous by this point because the one of the cops there recognized him. So they're like, "Whoa, everybody, chill! Like, this is a famous person. He probably lives here." And then he's like, "Yeah, this is my house." But then he asked them,
"Master criminal Ving Rhames."
Right? Well, he's like, "What if my son had answered the door and he was like holding some remote for some video game or something?" You came, like, they came to the door, guns drawn. I'm like, "Come on, guys! You got to do better than that."
We all do.
Gotta do better.
So let me see. Did I have another thing in the news? Oh, a little bit of news. A little bit. This is more
small news.
Yeah, is that House of Cards is coming up again?
I also heard. Well, see. Okay. How?
Right.
You haven't been watching.
No.
Okay.
No.
So anyway. So. I'm not gonna spoil anything.
Well, you kind of have to. How are they gonna bring that show back without Kevin Spacey?
Well, you have to watch the show. I mean, because like you can
does he get killed off or something? Assassinated?
Well, I don't. Not in the current seasons. Not up to the season. But he has had a severe health scare where he was on death's door before,
like heart attack or something.
Yes.
Or,
and so there was one of those that it might be.
Is it for sure without him? They're bringing it back without him?
I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe they agreed to do some sort of cursory wrap up and have him be in it. I don't know. That, and as far as I know, it's completely without him. But
because same thing, they're doing Roseanne, they're bringing Roseanne back.
Oh, really?
Just without Roseanne.
That's what they're saying.
And
now she's
been
making the rounds lately on Hannity and other shows.
Well, right.
Well, cause that's where you go to get legitimized again. Yeah. Right? Hannity.
But like, what are they going to still call it Roseanne? Like, you know what I mean?
They're going
to
call it Jackie.
Or the Connors.
Yeah, that's what you're going to call it, the Connors. Something like that.
But it's like, just, I mean, I get it. Like, people like the show, people like the characters, but like, you have the House of Cards is successful because of Kevin Spacey and because of Robin Wright.
Well,
that's why the show works.
Okay, but in the storyline, which is fantastic, by the way, everybody should watch it.
Who talks to the camera in that show?
Kevin Spacey does.
Who else?
Robin Wright.
And?
That's it.
Oh, weird. Okay. So they're going to cut out that whole thing.
No, she's in the show.
She's still there.
I know, but I...
And if you follow the storyline...
I get what you're saying, but...
She, you know, it. They could move... it's almost like the country can go on without you.
Sure.
You know, and this country in this story can go on without him.
I get it.
And so...
I get it, but, like, it's not... I know. Unless it's real good,
it's
like,
well, everything. I've liked like, almost everything they've done. Like,
I think I kind of checked out in season.
But then
four,
now,
maybe so. I mean, so. It is a little bit more like.
So if you really like the show, now imagine it without Kevin Spacey there.
Yeah, I can still see enjoying it. Like,
really?
I can.
Okay.
I mean, there's still so much going on.
Sure,
I mean, outside, and that's what I like about the show personally, is that they tell so many different complex storylines that kind of weave into everything that's happening. And some of it's hard to follow. Like it's like I need to watch it again and pay more attention to follow out what they're doing. But there's enough going on to where they could eliminate that character and flush out a fat story.
I just don't see how that, because like it works in sitcoms to an extent, but like just picture The Office. They got rid of Michael Scott.
Even,
it
better.
And it's like, it wasn't as bad.
I think
as people
sitcoms
make it
are more. Roseanne will be a harder challenge than House of Cards, in my opinion, because I think that you can sitcoms, particularly, I think depend
you're
on
just
personalities.
Like, they're gone, bring
no,
this person
I think,
in. Or...
No, I think it's opposite. I think that they rely on you. Rely on whoever, like Tim Allen, to be his guy, you know. And then if you change, and that's
Tim
what the,
Allen's French
and that's
all
what,
of a sudden.
And that's what the show, I was trying to like grunt like yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Which is the funniest freaking bit. Like that bit is hilarious.
Of
like,
course it is.
Like he deserves every like
how he discovered that this works.
Yeah, and he milked the shit out of it. Of course. I mean, like his whole, like entire show would be that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And everybody, yes. And everybody's like, it's so true. It's true. We're cavemen.
It's like an adult so male Scooby Doo.
Oh, man.
But
that's
it works.
Fantastic.
But anyway, that the comedy is definitely dependent on that kind
on
of personality,
him, right.
More so than a drama is dependent on a particular personality, in
sure.
my opinion.
Sure.
Unless you're like talking about judging Amy, and you get rid of Amy, right? You know, so
well, but that's the thing. House of Cards, is but it's complex enough.
Yeah,
there's enough other things outside family. Of Frank that are still going on,
though. Right? But like, I don't know. I just again, I haven't seen the whole show.
He'd probably die. That's my guess.
Yeah,
he'd probably die.
Yeah,
I just don't. I don't know. Unless
I'm excited to watch it.
If they had like a full on like arc, like planned, where they were like, this is how it's going to end, but then. They're gonna change that whole thing. I don't know. I just don't see. It's so weird when they're like, "Yeah, we gotta get rid." Or say somebody died, like in real life. Like say Kevin Spacey died instead,
right?
Like
which happens,
and they're like, "Well, let's just write it into the show, and we'll keep going." It's kind of the same situation where it's like you weren't planning on getting rid of Kevin Spacey. You were not. Planning on getting rid of him.
Apparently, Carrie Fisher's still going to be in Star Wars Episode 9.
They said they weren't going to do that.
They're going to do it.
What?
I mean, she has to be.
Did you feel that heavy, size from BJ and Cher?
I'm just like, I know.
It's palpable.
I just know that, like, it's like, how?
Well,
like,
what are they going to do? They said they're going to use footage that they already filmed from, like, Force Awakens and The Last Jedi.
Sure.
All right. I'll wait.
They're not going to do it, like, digitally. So, I don't know.
They're not going to Justice League it.
In JJ, we trust.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Or Fast and the Furious. Fast and Furious.
They did.
Paul Walker died, and then they used his brother.
I never saw it.
His brother like filled in for him, and then at some points they had to like put his face on.
How did it look though?
It was fine.
Was it fine? Okay.
I mean, it was all wide shots and stuff. Oh, like, yeah. It wasn't like a close up of like I'm Henry Cavill's fake mouth.
Do you bleed? Oh God.
So, any more news?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Real quick then. Before we get to voicemails, did you go back and watch Justice League like you said you were going
to
do?
I started to, yeah. I started
did you
to.
Hate it? Was it
I
awful?
Haven't been able to finish it.
Of
yeah,
course,
I haven't been able to finish
terrible.
It.
Lindsay tried to watch it on the plane.
Like the hobo said, I tried.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
And moving right along. Yeah. Where's my button?
Life's a binge. Phone Army.
Oh, wow. Hey, guys. Hey. Wow. Hey, it's Owen Wilson. Guys, hey, you know, I love your show. I'm just trying to figure out how I can get on the couch. You know, I'm out here at the Galapagos, and I'm looking at all these tortoises with Alan Alda. And we're talking about birthdays and how old those tortoises are. You know what I mean? And I was thinking of Jared, you know, my good pal. So I thought we could have a good time and have a slice of birthday cake. Maybe we can meet halfway, like on Pitcairn Island or something. I'm looking at Fletcher Christian's descendants. Okay, that's a little weird, all right? But, you know, I mean, wow, you guys have a podcast. That is awesome. I listen to it every week. I imagine myself on that fluffy couch drinking booze with you boys. Anyway, give me a call back. I'd love to chat with you as soon as I'm done writing the giant Galapagos tortoise. Wow,
man. That's thanks, Owen.
See, if you want to do more impressions, what you need to figure out is
the key. Yeah, there's a keyword.
There's a keyword.
Or something.
Wow, that'll get you right into it.
For sure.
Yep.
Well, that's everyone's favorite Owen Wilson thing to say is wow.
Oh, wow. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But thanks, Owen, for the phone call. You, too, can call the voicemail line at 619-438-0532.
That's a good get for the show, by the way.
Owen? Yeah, we should get him on.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Luke, but what are you going to do?
Do you ever see that X-Files with Luke Wilson as a guest star in it?
No.
And he plays like a sheriff or something, and... Scully has kind of a crush on him.
I have seen.
And it's a really funny episode because they both kind of like recall a story.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And so you see it from both of their perspectives.
That's fantastic.
And so like when Scully does it, Mulder is like super arrogant and just a super jerk. And then when
Mulder tells a story,
Scully's like super.
Luke Wilson's got these big old teeth.
Yeah. Like, how do you do, ma'am?
Yeah, exactly.
that's I do remember
How
that.
Have I never seen
no,
that?
No, it sounds so great. That one's solid.
And he's like, ew. But then shows Scully. She's like, oh. Yeah. She's like fawning,
I'm in love with
fawning
him.
Over
that's
him.
That's fantastic.
It's really a funny,
I do
funny
remember
bit.
That one. Yeah. That is a good one. But thanks for calling, Owen. We hope to get you on the show. Maybe you and Alan can show up together. But for now, let's find out what Maddie's got to say about some Pixar movies, shall
Ooh,
we?
Yes.
Let's do it.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hello, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? So this week, I was able to dash on over to the movies and catch my favorite actual Disney superheroes, The Incredibles, in their explosive sequel, Incredibles 2. Incredibles 2 begins where the first one left off, but, like, literally where the last one ended, which is very unusual for a sequel made 15 years after the first one. Ah, the magic of animation. They did the same thing when they made a few new episodes of the 1960s Adam West Batman a few years ago. But enough about Batman. This is The Incredibles. So the movie picks up with The Incredibles fight with the Underminers. Cause come on, John Ratzenberger has to be in there somehow. He's basically the Stan Lee cameo for Pixar. But I guess technically John Ratzenberger has been doing it for longer, so you could say that Stan Lee is the John Ratzenberger of the MCU. So, the plot goes that the Incredibles once again need to lay low after their super destructive Man of Steel-esque fight with the Underminer. Helen, Bob, and Lucius get hit up by Winston Dever, played by Bob Odenkirk, who is a huge superhero fan trying to rebrand the supers, making them acceptable to the public again. Using Elastigirl as their frontrunner, we watch Mr. Incredible clunkily adapt to home life when all of a sudden a new mysterious villain surfaces called the Screenslaver, causing the crew to go back at it again. I thought this was a really well-done sequel. The Incredibles story from the first one is so unique and such an interesting take on superheroes and superhero families that any follow-up story, I think, is going to be pretty hard to top. They had an excellent thing going with the first one, dealing with so many untapped resources as they did. Doing it a second time isn't going to be nearly as special, but in this sequel, they came right back up to the bar, in my opinion. Now we're more familiar with these characters, and we get to see the progression of the events from the first one, but because the sequels time-wise are supposed to be back-to-back, we get to see the continuing character arcs, which is pretty cool. They still do a great job at satirizing superhero movies and tropes. Almost a bit too good since I saw a lot of the surprises coming. But it's also a kids movie, so I can't really hold that against them. And they still had legitimately great action sequences. Word of warning. There are extended sequences of strobes in a few scenes for a good chunk of time, so if you have a light sensitivity or are epileptic, you may want to be careful about seeing this one in a big theater. I'm an epileptic myself, and I was fine, but I'm also not light sensitive, so that could be a thing worth considering. Look at that. I'm throwing myself in harm's way for you all and this podcast. That's got to be worth something, right? Overall, this is a really solid, well-made movie. Action, drama, lasers, and laughs. Everything that is important in a film. You're going to have a fun time if you see this. Just be careful if you have a light sensitivity. Then you may not have so much fun. But hey, that's just my opinion. I say zoom on down to your local theater and see it for yourself. And don't forget to share your opinion with us because, hey, what do I know? Next time I'm taking the trolley to the land of make-believe because I'm watching Won't You Be My Neighbor. Until next time, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know?
Bravo, Matty Warburton.
That's
bravo.
That's one person who the movie pass is going to affect if it ever goes under.
Absolutely.
Matty gets his money's worth.
I want to.
Me too.
I am.
Me too. I'm jealous
busy
of
all
Matt.
The time, and yeah, it's. But we're thankful for it. So it keeps it coming.
Yeah. It makes his segment cheaper. Cheaper. Yeah. So I appreciate it. And as always, great job.
Absolutely. Great job. And let us know what you thought of Incredibles or Won't You Be My Neighbor or any of the other movies.
What
would
you think of Matt
Warburton? Yeah. Or just say how much you love Matty Dubs.
He would love to hear it.
Matty Dubs.
That works.
Matty Dubs.
We need a written name for Rich because you're like J Money. Yeah. So, I don't really have a name for myself either, do I?
No.
The absent-minded. The absent-minded Professor
Booty.
Our
names are already short.
What? The absent-minded Professor Booty?
Yeah.
What?
Because I'm absent-minded, and then Professor Booty is just a great song by the Beastie Boys.
I thought you just pulled that out of nowhere. I'm like, absent-minded Professor Booty. Like,
yeah. I thought about it before.
Wow.
Yo, you're the absent-minded Professor Booty. I love this guy. He's good. After these messages, we'll be
right back. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Back to the show. Welcome back, everyone, to Life's a Binge. We're talking about movies, everyone's favorite movies.
Favorite.
It's kind of like a fluff episode. We spent a whole bunch of time talking about news and what's up and all that stuff. But our topic today is just, you know, gushing about movies.
It's a little bit of a down week in a way. I mean, like, in that there's not like a major movie coming out. There's not like a major TV show that's kind of premiering.
I watched the Robin Williams documentary on HBO.
Oh, I heard that was really good.
It is real good.
Oh, yeah?
But I mean, that's not like topic and worthy.
Was it good?
It was real good. Yeah.
I'd like to hear about what people are watching too. I mean,
of course. Yeah.
I watched Ready Player One.
Had you not seen it before?
I had not seen it before.
I still haven't.
Did you read the book?
I had not read the book.
Okay. Did you like the movie?
Interesting. Oh,
that was all right.
Interesting.
I gotta go see it.
Felt like it was really trying though. Like, it was trying real hard.
This whole thing smacks of effort.
It insists upon itself. I didn't not enjoy it. Like, I enjoyed watching it. But
yeah, it's super fun.
It's a fun, like memory lane type of thing,
yeah.
Right?
It's a fun nostalgia romp, for sure.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it at some point.
I really liked it.
I'm looking forward to seeing Jurassic Park, too.
It definitely felt like things were about to happen that were supposed to be happening, because you watched the movie, and you're like, this is what's going to happen, and then that thing happens.
Of course.
All right. Yeah. It was fun.
Cool.
The effects are cool. I really like that. And there's definitely a lot of nostalgia to be had with, like,
people kind of complained about it because they're like, well, the CG looks like you're watching a video game.
You are
watching a video game. Yeah, remember?
I had that thought at first. I'm like, wait, though, this is supposed to be like a virtual
you're
world.
You're in
like,
the you video really, game. That's yeah. what you're watching. You're watching ridiculous. Them in the Oasis. Right, anyway. Yeah. But people are like, oh, it looks like a video game. They did that on purpose, guys. They're not trying to make it look real on purpose.
Spielberg's like, it was way cheaper that way. You don't have to make it look good.
Right.
So I've been doing this dumb thing where, you know, you post your, you know, 10 movies that influenced your life in some way or whatever.
Sure.
It's, you know, those things, it's like a chain, the modern day chain letter that goes around on Facebook. It's like, post your 10 best albums
or whatever. So the
government
can get information on you.
Of course. Yeah. And so
they're going to know everything about you.
I got sucked into doing the 10 movie thing, and it kind of sparked our topic of just like, talking about movies we love.
It's a good one. And I didn't even bother. I wrote down a couple things.
Right.
But part of me was like, you know what? Jared's got it going. And I haven't. Well, I mean, like, you're
you got it going.
You got
Jared.
It going. You haven't like finished your list yet.
I have not.
But you've already posted several things, and you're already into it. And like, it's like, I haven't committed to actually like doing the thing. I think you called me out on it.
Yes, I did.
And so
and you. I posted you too, bitch. Yeah.
I didn't give it a tag.
I did it.
Did you tag me? Damn.
I did.
Okay, I'll do it.
You ignored it.
So are like you
going to ignore it? Thing.
No.
9 out of 10 times I ignore it. I'm like,
I genuinely missed that.
But for me, I was like, you know what, Jared's first 3 or 4 days, I was like, he's already posted a bunch that are
going
to be so easy to talk about.
Are you going in order from like,
favorite,
or are you just posting favorites?
Just whatever comes to mind that day.
And I read the thing, you know, literally. It was like movies that made an impact on you in one way or another that you can go back and rewatch at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like my favorite movie.
Right.
You know, because like I don't know if I could pick my favorite movie. But like the first movie that I put was Willow. Because as a kid, that was like one of the first like fantasy movies I remember seeing.
Sure.
That was like, whoa, like
there's this whole other, like, make-believe out there that my brain didn't even know about,
right?
If that makes any sense.
No, yeah.
Where it's like, dude, there's dragons and trolls and, like, witches and wizards and, like, yeah, all this stuff that I was like, my brain, my imagination
was
has
born.
Yes, exactly. But, like, my imagination just, like, expanded because, like,
yeah,
you know, you hear about this, but you don't see it in real life,
yeah,
so to speak. And I'm watching, you know, Val Kilmer slay a fucking three-headed troll. Like, that's bitching.
Yeah. And what's the diminutive actor's name there?
Warwick Who's in that? Davis? Oh,
yes. Yes. There you go. I want to see just because him, because I so loved, what was his show called?
He had a show?
Yeah, on HBO.
Yes, it was with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. It was funny, though. It was really, really funny.
I almost want to say it's like Little People.
Maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
But he had a show. And basically, Ricky Gervais, if you ever watch Extras, you ever
yeah,
seen that?
No,
so
no.
It's essentially, and then he's in Extras. Like, he's yeah, in an episode of Extras, right? I believe so.
Yeah, I think they're really good buddies in real life.
And so they just kind of take that exact same universe and have him do a story, for, you know, a show about his experience. And he's got that Ricky Gervais style of humor down, like, brilliantly. Like, he's brilliant, where they're doing takes and they're kind of, like, making little comments, and it's just,
right on.
It's money. And so
have you seen Willow?
What?
No?
What?
Because you said you saw all of them except for...
That's what I was thinking. When you said Willow, I was like, oh, maybe I missed his
That's
first
That's definitely something
maybe
that I
missed
wore
your first
out on
post.
VHS.
Yeah.
I probably... Yeah, so I don't have a... I really have very little recollection
I don't
of
think
it.
I had tagged... I think I tagged you after... Because that's the first one I tagged Samantha.
Uh-huh.
And then I think I tagged you second, I believe.
Yeah, so Willow...
So you might have missed the Willow
post. Yeah, and I'm not as familiar with Willow. I know it exists, but I don't know. I haven't... It's not like Princess Bride where I'm like, oh,
right,
yeah, I know it back
oh,
and
yeah,
forth. You
well,
know?
And that's another one that's like
I
another...
watched that because you posted it. I'm like, no, I watched Princess Bride tonight.
Yeah. Well, and that's another one
it.
That's like...
Oh, I've seen it,
of
yeah,
course. Lots of time for it.
But, that's,
but
times.
It's along the same lines where, like, that's another, like, fantastical-type movie. But it's more of, like, a swashbuckler.
Yeah.
You know, I consider it, like, a swashbuckling movie.
But, Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, it also... It's, like, such a good love story... And, like, it has, like, all this stuff. So, like, it's one of the first
funny,
kind of love story
it's
things.
It's incredibly quotable.
And it's very, and yeah, it's so witty and smart. And, like, every time I watched it growing up, like, I would see something new. Or, like, I would get one of the adult jokes and then, like, ha ha ha. And
yeah,
then I watched it again and I got a different adult joke. And,
yeah,
like, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. So, like, those are, like, the first couple that I posted. Like, if you had to pick, like, what would your number one, like, off the top of your head, like, 10 movies that influence you, like, BJ, I call you out. Like.
Right. There's a few, like, when I think about influence, like, I remember movies that, and I've talked about it before, but Broadcast News is one that, like, really comes to mind, that, like, just, like, spoke to me so strongly. And so that's definitely one that I would put on my list.
Like, what
about
it would be, like, sparks that, like, influential, like, it made a difference,
know,
or whatever.
The,
like,
yeah, I think that, like, it's James L. Brooks is really good,
yeah,
like, and he's smart and, yeah, and funny. And so, like, I realized, and that was one of the first movies that I can remember of his that I liked and enjoyed. And I don't even think I was thinking of him at the time. I remember thinking Albert Brooks. I remember I really enjoyed
sure,
this movie because I really like Albert Brooks, and
right,
I've always enjoyed Holly Hunter, too. And then William Hurt, I was kind of like, meh, you know, kind of meh about. But then again, I was meh about, because if you're familiar with the story, it's a story of three people who work in a
mm-hmm,
newsroom in the 80s.
Right.
And Albert Brooks, Holly Hunter, and William Hurt. And they're all are three, and those are the three focuses. They do, like, backstories on each of them. And
right,
they're the three focus of the story. And Albert Brooks's character, not the being a child genius part, but, like, just... His experience is just resonated
with
me,
with you.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, like, and
well,
his
kind of like saw yourself mirrored. In,
I saw, yeah,
in art of some kind.
Exactly,
you're like, oh, shit.
Absolutely,
like,
yes,
right,
absolutely. So you see someone, you know,
they
essentially
think like
play,
I do,
playing,
right,
yeah, playing you up
yeah,
there, and expressing your this great scene where he tells her how he feels about her,
yeah,
and he's upset about her being in love with the other guy who represents everything that they
that is not
yeah that's
yeah,
not them that
right,
or him at least it's
yeah,
not him
yeah,
and, you know, and they realize that she, you know, is subject to, you know, beauty's call like anyone else, and
right,
and it's brilliant, it's really good, and it's always it always resonated with me, and as I get older, I can see William Hurt's character in a completely different light.
Right, sure.
And, and he's not, he's not the devil.
He's not the devil.
He's not a terrible, he's not
a bad guy.
In fact, he's completely relatable in so many of what he's, you know, it's just where he's coming from. Yeah. You know, like he doesn't come from this hardcore journalistic background. He comes from like kind of floating through life type of background where he gets a lot of benefits because he's an attractive man. And
I know all about that.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So you understand my frustration when people like me have to work so hard.
Right.
You know, so
it's hard being so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm William Hurt, and you're Albert Brooks.
I'm Albert Brooks, and you're Holly Hunter.
Just talk out of the side of your mouth, and you got it. Yeah. God, I love her voice.
So
sorry.
That was one, and it was funny too because like that one, it's funny. Because I'm looking, I'm following this post, and I love it. Right. But I'm like, I know that I'm not starting one anytime soon. So I'm like, we'll talk about Jared's movies. Yeah. That's fine. But like, I'm thinking, like, what would mine be? And that one is one, but it's not streaming anywhere.
Right. No, well, most of them, like,
and then my next one, like the ones that I wrote down, I was like, I really, what I want to watch right now. Like, I want to watch Blues Brothers really bad.
Nice.
Because you can put that on and just enjoy it. It's not streaming anywhere.
Right.
And really? Then I thought that was on...
As far as I know, I looked it up. I looked up to like trying to find.
It's not on Amazon?
Oh. You can pay for it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. You can rent anything.
That's the thing. That's just really frustrating, too. When you look for what's streaming, is it's on Amazon for
$3.99. Yeah, you can rent it. I'm like, I don't want to rent it. I want to watch it for free right now.
But then another one is Gattaca.
Ooh, I love
me too.
That's going to go down in history as one of the best sci-fi movies of all time.
Dude, I love that movie.
That
it's not streaming
still
anywhere.
It still holds up. It's still
that movie.
But that movie speaks to me too. Like that movie speaks to me.
And
like,
it's still relevant. It's relevant today.
Yeah, it's so good. And if you're not familiar with Gattaca, it's a great science fiction movie starring Ethan Hawke.
Yes.
And it's a story of
Uma Thurman.
And he lives in Uma Thurman and who saw Jude Law, right?
Yeah.
So it takes place in a future where genetic testing is everything essentially in society and culture. So you are predetermined on what you can do and can't do in society, and then that is given to you because of your genetic predisposition.
Because you can run fast without getting tired and you have super lungs and super muscles, like you are going to be one of the prized humans.
Yeah. Right.
You get to go to Jupiter.
Yeah.
Right. And so there is a group of people who don't want to get into the genetic planning of life and decide to have what they call in the movie a God birth, where that's just kind of up to God, which is what we do now.
Right.
And so Ethan Hawke's character is a natural born God birth guy, and he's flawed.
Right.
And his brother
has a weak heart. He has and a weak lung. He's got asthma. And,
so what he really wants to do, which is be an astronaut, is out of his control.
Right.
So he attempts to take on the identity of someone who has the proper genetic code to be allowed to do these things and live his life.
What happened to do we remember why he got crippled? I don't remember why he got crippled.
I want to say like maybe a drunk driving. I forget.
Because he's got super genes, but accident. Then something happens where he ends up in a wheelchair.
Which happens before the movie ever happens, because you meet him and he's already he's already disabled. But Tony Shalhoub is awesome in it as the guy who kind of facilitates.
Yeah.
And
dude, that movie's
Gore Vidal is in this movie.
Oh yeah, for a minute.
It's a great movie. It's great, and it's smart. It's smart.
What's his brother? What's the cop's name?
I don't remember.
It's a slight spoiler. Sorry, but like there's a cop that's hunting him down.
Yeah, I almost started to say but.
It's not like a, oh my God, I didn't see that coming.
Go watch this movie anyway.
No, watch it anyway.
But like that guy's got one of those faces that I'm like, oh, I know
he
that
was
kid
in,
from something.
I want to say,
but that
Say Anything,
so
he was like
good.
Joe and Say Anything. Right?
Dude, the fucking scene where he's like, they're coming to the house, and like Jude Law's downstairs,
so he
and
like
he has to
this,
like climb up the stairs, and it's like, oh my God.
Super intense.
Yeah, it's good. And the lengths that they go to make him be able to be passable as other guy, including shortening or stretching out his height, making him taller or shorter.
They cut out inches
of his short of his shin.
They cut him out and put in inserts.
Oh, and they stint, and so they make him taller.
Yeah.
Yes. Jeez Louise.
Well, he's got to be 6'1 or whatever he is.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
That's a good flick, dude.
It's so good. So those are the three that I kind of came up with. Blues Brothers, Gattaca. Oh, and Perfume.
I don't know this one.
You know this one. We've talked about it before. It's
Perfume?
So good. Yeah, this Perfume, The Story of a Murderer. And actually, you can watch it right now on Amazon Prime.
I do not know this.
It's a movie that came out maybe 5 years ago when Beth Accomando asked us to do some movie reviews for a publication.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yes.
That was one that I did. I did that and Fresh, which is another one that would be on my list, too.
Huh. Interesting.
But
Perfume is... A movie from 5 years ago is on your, like, top 10...
Maybe it's maybe it's a little bit more than 5 years.
Sure. I got some movies from 5 years ago.
Really?
Absolutely.
But it's
at least one.
It's so good. It's a story of like, this guy who goes through life. It's brilliantly filmed. The cinematography is amazing. It tells the story of a guy who's born in the filthiest part of France in 1700s, in the streets where all the filthy smells are, to a mother who didn't want him and just like gave birth and then left him there and then went to go do something else. But somehow he lived, and they follow his story, and it turns out he has this incredible sense of smell that's like crazy strong sense of smell.
Is this a true story?
Or, no, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know. Sure. It may be based on somebody, but it's not presented as history or anything. But it's but the character as he gets older and he develop, he finds out that there's these amazing great smells out in the world once he gets out of his lousy, you know, almost like rat-like existence of being an orphan living in these houses. Somehow or another, he's able to get out. He's able to smell these smells, and he becomes infatuated with certain smells, including like the smell of particular perfume. women. And he wants to make a perfume.
He's trying to make it.
Yeah.
So
and so he comes across Dustin Hoffman, who's a perfume maker,
right?
Who is the second fiddle to the main guy who's discovered this incredible perfume.
Okay.
But Dustin Hoffman can't perfect it. But this new
apprentice, sniffer guy,
right, has this incredible nose. Yeah. Who like smells it, and then he goes into Dustin Hoffman's like workshop, and he pulls off everything that he needs in the exact amounts and makes it for him.
Wow.
And so and then. Which Dustin Hoffman tried and tried and could never do, and so he becomes his protege, and he learns how to extract smells from things, and he uses that same methodology to extract the smell from the women that is the most desirable smell.
See, that's so bitch. Like and the fact that like that just popped in your head as like one of the movies that would be on this like top 10 like influential or just like good like I don't know. I don't necessarily think they have to be influential or whatever.
But they just jump out at you.
They stick in your head for some reason. And if you're like, oh, man, like what was I want to watch that movie. Like, well, what was it? Oh, Perfume. I really want to watch Perfume right now. Yeah. And you can go back and just watch it and watch it and watch it. Like, so, yeah.
If you can, and Perfume is one right now, you can. Like, Blues Brothers, I've never even heard of it, man.
I could have sworn that we've talked about it,
but maybe not.
Check it out, no.
It's really good, and if you have Prime, you should definitely watch it.
Yeah.
It's a fun story. So I should say that the movie's called Perfume, and the subtitle is The Story of a Murderer. So there's murder involved. So he inevitably, in order to get the smell from folks.
See, you had me at Perfume,
right?
But now there's a story of murder.
Oh, you ready?
Now there's a whodunit.
Now you're about to. Do you have a change of pants? Because I'm going to tell you something that you might need to change.
I did not bring new pants.
Alan Rickman is in it too.
Oh snap!
Yeah, and so there you go. It's definitely a brilliant movie, worth watching.
I wish I could do Alan Rickman. And now there's Perfume. Time.
I'm an extraordinary thief. You know, with a little practice, we can do these things.
Of course.
We need practice.
Try it again.
There you go. That's pretty good. That's the best of the three so far. Yes.
Oh my God! Cool. I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah.
Next time. Those are the ones that I had written down.
Bitchin'.
So
what's the one that pops into your head, Rich?
Oh my God! So many. So since you mentioned ones from like the last 5 years or so, I would say Her is definitely one.
Yes.
That, like,
that's a
good
punch
choice.
Me in the face, knocked me on my
dude,
ass.
Dude, that movie. Yeah, for sure. That movie was great.
Well, and I don't think anyone gave that movie any credit.
No,
they're like, this is not really talked about. Dumb concept. Yeah. He's in love with an AI. Dumb.
I think it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful story.
I cried. I'm like,
yeah.
Like, is this guy gonna be okay? I guess. Movies that challenge my perspective, like if I have thoughts about something already, and movies that say, well, what about this? Like, those are already going to have a kind of a leg up on me. And with Her, like, you kind of hear about people in real life who are like, have like sort of a weird, or at least from your perspective,
right,
a weird skewed view of what love is and what right. love means right. and like what it means to be in love. And then you watch this movie about a guy who, yeah, he falls in love with an AI, but it doesn't seem weird or stupid to
at
you
all.
As you watch right. it at all.
Like, yeah, at all.
Like, I could totally believe this. And it's...
Well, and especially the fact that, like, if you haven't seen the movie, she's like imagine Siri, but you can just literally have conversation.
With, like, perfect interaction.
Right. Yeah, you just literally have conversation.
She has inflection, and she understands you.
She gets sarcasm and jokes and sense of humor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, Siri with personality.
Yeah. And so, who's a little bit more aggressive as far as, like, because Siri is your own personal assistant in a lot
right.
of ways.
Right.
And yeah. I use Siri a lot.
Right.
Set an alarm for blah, blah, blah. Remind me to do this, blah, blah, yeah. blah. Right. But, like, honestly, I get a little like, ooh, if I had a personal assistant who was even more right. so, to, Jay, yeah. check my email, send this to so-and-so. But she's so interactive.
Like, do you want to read this?
Like, yeah, she's so interactive that she's like, I took the liberty of sending your
right.
resume.
I did that for you already.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I rewarded this a little bit for you. And I represented you. That's what's kind of like freaky yeah. is I represented you
right.
to these other people.
But that's how you can see in the movie that like, she's like a partner.
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's like, what it's like. That's,
yeah.
It is a relationship.
And,
right?
But
it
yeah.
is a relationship.
And so I imagine that
and
it was the programming.
That's my view of that.
Her programming that.
And it's Scarlett Johansson, who
yeah.
she could talk to me all day, every day.
I
mean, sure.
I was like, wow. I've never really focused on her voice before, but when it's just her voice, you're like...
It's very effective.
Yeah. yeah
that's a beautiful woman
right
there.
It's very effective. like, yeah. But,
even if all you were is a disembodied voice.
Jeez. Yeah, I'm in love. I forgot what I was saying. It's gone now.
Oh, sorry.
Yay. These happen.
And then on top of that, there's like a cool sci-fi subplot of like the AIs all like, you know what? Humans have nothing to offer us. We're moving towards the singularity where
yep.
we're
oh,
just going to go
what I was
improve
say.
Upon
yeah.
like the future, maybe.
Like, that maybe like in her version of Siri, you know, is one that caters to your own ego by being infatuated with you
right.
and like wanting to do these things and getting jealous.
Yeah.
And
learning. And
yeah.
And growing and beyond you potentially.
Yeah. Like it's a trip. It's yeah. a trip.
Trips me.
It's
out.
A trip. Like I want to see it again.
No,
it's been a while.
I only saw it the once, but like, man, oh man, that's a good flick.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
If I had to throw in another one in there, that's sort of along the same, like the same theme of movies that like made me really think about like my perspective on the world. The Matrix would be one of them.
Dude, I was just
and not necessarily
say the Matrix.
Right?
I don't want to ruin
not
any more
sense,
that Jared's
like,
going to post later. You know, like,
no, are we in a simulation?
Well, that was one that I was yeah. no for real because that was one that I was thinking about putting on the. There's so many that I'm like,
yeah.
I can't. I have to only pick 10, and I immediately went and started like picking the 10 that I was going to pick, and I have like 10 pictures saved.
So you've already got them, okay?
But I don't because right. I'm looking at it and I keep thinking and I think about something else. And yeah. I was going to put literally the next one that I was going to post was going to be The Matrix.
Yeah, it's
because when I left that movie, I legitimately was
blown
like,
away.
What if that's how it is?
Right.
Well, see,
like it
yeah.
legitimately made me think, oh, shit.
So for me, it was 50% that and 50% don't take anything at face value.
Right.
Like always be willing to ask questions and dig deeper. Like that's the big takeaway for me. And that changed the way that I like approached life.
Right.
Like,
that movie blew
changed
my
the way
mind.
I approach life. Like, cause now I became better at giving people the benefit of the doubt at like really making sure I'm having meaningful interactions and not just like surface level stuff. Cause I want to know you. Like I want
right.
like, not just like surface level. I don't know. Like, I still get blown away every time I watch it too, and I see.
No,
like,
that movie,
it's been a while. Like I'm due for watching.
Just the idea of like someone's eyes just being open into like the real.
I do love that. I love that idea. Like just that. Whoa!
Like you haven't been awake and now you are. And
yeah,
it has been a minute since I've seen. I'm wondering if it holds up with technology.
Mostly, yeah. The first one, anyway.
Because they just have their little cell phones. They don't have like smartphones or anything, and so I'm wondering
right.
if there's something there that's like. I don't know if kids are gonna appreciate this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean like, what do you mean? Like as far as like it being realistic or just kind of like looking cool or what?
I don't know if it's as believable or if it like say you're a teenager right
uh-huh.
now and I show you the Matrix for the first time right now and you have your iPhone and you have your connectivity and your Wi-Fi's and all this stuff. Do you think it's gonna have as big of an impact on a teenager that has all the technology we have right now as opposed to me when that movie came out? Like I barely had a fucking pager. I think so. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't see why not.
You know what? We need to watch this movie again.
Yeah.
Like that's the bottom line. We need to see this movie again.
Yeah,
because
I'm curious.
Movie.
I don't
don't know. Much more so than the second and third ones. Oh, yeah. The first movie still holds up.
I barely remember the second
one. It should have just been a standalone. They really only wanted to make two, but the studio pressured them into making three because their cut or their storyboards of the second movie was too long, what they said. So they're like, cut that out.
It was one of the first victims of splitting it in two and making it worse.
And then they had to add a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
and
I gotta watch it again.
We don't need a 15 minute.
I've rewatched the second and third
movies. We don't need a big long orgy scene in Zion. Like, yeah, that doesn't need to be there.
I see it. So clearly, maybe I didn't see that movie. Maybe
it's not really.
They both have, like, the second movie has some great parts. Like, the car chase scene is one of the best car chases I've ever seen on film, period.
Oh, yeah. In two?
Matrix.
The freeway scene. It's like known as the freeway scene.
You said never get on the freeway. That's a cool, like, lore moment. It's like, yeah, obviously you would never get on the freeway because then the agents could become literally anyone and just destroy your car. And, so I forgive that a little bit more, too. And that's the other part, the thing that I love about that movie is that any movie where they've created, like, sort of a universe.
Right.
I mean, give us, like, Star Wars,
Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter.
Yeah, where you could think about things beyond the actual movie, like things you don't really see or that aren't told to you. And you're like, what if this happened? Like, anything that makes me think about the movie more when I'm not watching it, I got to give credit to that.
Right on.
Nope. I was for sure, like, it was toyed around with, like, I should pick the Matrix. Random ones that, again, just change the way you kind of look at stuff. But this isn't on my list, but it's another one that's kind of popped in there a couple times, is the Robin Williams movie Toys.
Yeah.
You know the movie Toys?
LL Cool J.
And, no, that's not the one with the little guy from Christmas Story, is it? The Master Bates? Is that Master Bates? Which one is that one? That's the Richard Pryor movie.
The Toy.
Got it.
Very different movie.
Real similar name. Very different.
But, like, that movie just made me, change the way I thought about, like, business of sorts.
Yeah, you know, that movie doesn't, like, I doesn't, like, I don't. Probably because I did for a very long time have a little anti Robin Williams thing.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Explain yourself.
Yeah, what happened there? Why?
Do you remember?
We boarded this train on purpose, though.
Do you remember Comedy Relief?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to love watching that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoopi Goldberg, Billy Crystal, and Robin Williams were the hosts of it, and it all went out to homelessness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of effect they had. I hope it was a good one.
Yeah.
But it was very popular for a little while. Anyway, I remember watching
this. They talk about that on the documentary.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I remember watching it and being a fan of Billy Crystal and Whoopi Goldberg. And there are comedians coming out and doing their bits for this comedy routine.
Right.
And while they're doing the bits, they're still on stage. And Robin Williams is upstaging everybody by doing little bits of maybe his, like, sign language and doing this thing. It's totally drawing focus from the comedians.
Oh.
That, to me, is so not cool. It's just not cool.
Totally.
And there's a comedian, Richard Belzer, I think, who's like, can I please do my bit, please, without you doing this? He kind of mentions it. Huh. And I'm like, yeah, man, come on. Wow. You know, and I remember, like, that was one of the things that, like, Robin Williams, his personality, he's genius, he's hilarious.
But he's always going.
But he's always on, and he can't turn off to let somebody else please have, like, their 5 minutes of comedy that they want to do.
Okay.
It made me upset about it, and it kind of, like, soured me on him for a while, that he has to be this guy.
Even, like, his movies and stuff?
He won me back big on Good Will Hunting. Yes. Big. Like, big. And I was like, yes, this is what I want to see from you.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this coked up where you've got to be on, like, you know, like Jim Carrey or something, that you have to be doing this.
That's the thing that I... You should watch the documentary.
I absolutely will.
Because it's so good.
Because I'm a fan.
Well,
so.
And I thought he was, like, on coke a lot.
I would assume as well.
And he only was for a very brief amount of time.
Really?
Until Belushi, and once Belushi died, he stopped.
Oh.
Interesting.
Because he was there the night Belushi died.
Oh, really?
Like, he was hanging out with him and then left, and then the next morning they were like, Belushi died. And he was like, I was there last night.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And then he stopped from then on.
I couldn't imagine that'd be.
He had a relapse with alcohol later on, but yeah, he was done with drugs.
I could really mess you up.
But like that was the thing. Like I thought he was always like I thought he was so amped up because he was on something the whole time. But nope, he wasn't. He was just that. He just was that way.
It's a good now, to describe that.
That's funny.
Personality.
Sam Kennison, I always would have assumed. Oh no, not him. Not him. Him too, but more Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like they were
like best friends.
Who?
Bobcat Goldthwait and Robin Williams.
Oh really?
Oh.
Bobcat was Robin Williams' best man.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta see this movie.
No, it's so good, dude. Like it's just good.
That's cool.
It's a good doc.
I definitely want to see it. But Bobcat Goldthwait was someone else who he did. Like, honestly, it was that one event that really like kind of soured me on it. Like that him upstaging people when they're trying to do their thing. Like that bugged me. Him being kind of the way that his personality was kind of coked up and amped up all the time.
Right.
And Bobcat Goldthwait was kind of the same way, but he used to make a joke about that, about like, cause he'd be like, I don't know if you remember his old bit.
Oh yeah.
He'd always just like, he was always on the edge of just like
losing it.
Sanity. Yeah.
I just picture his entire career as his character in Scrooged.
he's just wound
up and like right, and then he snaps when he like gets fired. He like snaps at the end and he's like, I'm in charge with the gun.
Who he was for a long time in comedy.
That's how I picture his whole career, right?
But it's and I always thought that, and he made a joke. He's like that somebody invited him over to do cocaine. And he's like swinging the cat by the tail. He's like, yeah, like I'm the one you want doing lines in your living room, lady. Which I thought was funny, like to kind of poke fun at yourself. But I always assumed, oh, you're clearly coked up.
Right.
Like, and I'm
sure at some point they were.
Yeah.
But
it's not constantly.
But if it's a bit that works for you, that's got to be like rough because it's like, you know what really kills is when I'm stoned out of my mind on cocaine. And like,
here we go.
Yeah. So got to pay those bills.
Woo, woo, woo. So, but you should watch the Robin Williams thing.
I absolutely will. Yeah. Absolutely
will. Well, and like, and going back to the movie Toys, like it's probably right in there of your like, I don't really like him. Phase
maybe
would be my guess,
and that might be
early 90s.
That might be one of the reasons why I never did really watch it and get into it, even though it's to see LL Cool J doing stuff because that was right at the beginning of his acting
character's
career.
Great
good
in the movie,
that.
Too.
Yeah,
he's
that's
like
cool.
He's like one of the soldiers, and it's anyway, they're basically taking the toy company and marketing war toys that are like for the military.
Yeah.
He's like, we can make this helicopter
actually destructive, violent toys. Yeah.
Interesting.
So you'd actually probably really like the movie, I bet.
Yeah.
Like, it's good. All right.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
It's also
very visually
impressive.
Do you know who directed it? Is it a big name?
I don't know off the top of my head, but
where's Mike Pettiner? Mike Pettiner had to go to the movies tonight instead of like look up movies for us.
Man on the internet.
Are you gonna Google it?
You're gonna Google it right now.
I'm gonna guess it was like Robert Zemeckis or.
See, that's the thing. It's so funny because I was looking at the ones that I picked like off the top of my head, and there was a bunch of Robert Zemeckis.
Oh really? Back to the Future. Oh well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm gonna pick that.
What have you? So what have you posted so far?
Barry Levinson, by the way.
Barry Levinson. Okay, yep, popular.
What did I post so far? I posted Willow. I posted Princess Bride.
Okay.
I posted Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
I posted Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah.
I posted Noises Off, which you do not know.
I have not seen.
Oh.
Golly, Carol Burnett. I can't believe you haven't seen
Carol
Noises
Burnett.
Off. Noises Off. It basically, I watched that movie.
You
I
watched
think
it, though,
the
like when you were a theater nerd.
I'm
familiar with it as a play.
I hadn't become a full-on theater kid at this point.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, I had done maybe one show, and then I saw this movie, and I was like, oh, my God! Like, it further emphasized the fact that, yes, I need to do some sort of theater.
Nice.
Like,
right on. That's cool.
My life.
So I've been trying to do that show for, like, 15 years.
I would
like, really
it's
want
like
to do
one
that
one of
show.
My bucket list like dream role shows.
Really? Oh, okay.
Is that show.
Now, as a particular person, because I'm going to watch this movie.
When you watch the movie, picture me as the Jason Ritter character.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's who I want to be.
Yeah.
All right.
That would work.
Yeah.
You could do that.
I'm looking forward to it.
I would love to be that character. God. So I thought At one point, I owned that movie, and I don't know if I've told the story on the podcast, but a long time ago, I had a storage unit, and it got broken into, and I lost a good chunk of stuff.
Bummer.
I never told you that story?
You it probably
was,
did.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
I just don't remember.
And so they stole, like, anything that looked like it was valuable. All my movies, because I had, like, all my movies in there.
Sucks.
And, like, dumb stuff like home videos and, like, you know, DVDs of, like, high school plays or whatever that obviously got thrown away because they were worth nothing.
Sure.
But regardless, I'm always like, ooh, I want to watch whatever. And then I get up to get it.
And it's not
and it's
there.
One of the ones that I haven't replaced yet. Man. And Noises Off is one of those ones. And then when you're like, I want to see it, I was like, I'm going to let him borrow it. And I would look for it, and I was like, I don't have it. I immediately got on the internet, and I bought it.
Right on.
And so it's coming to me very soon, and I will let you watch it because
awesome.
It's
yeah.
fucking great.
Yeah. Cara Burnett, dude. That's all you got to say.
Yeah. Cara Burnett, Michael Caine, Christopher Reeve, Jason Ritter.
Michael Caine.
What in the hell are we trying to do?
What's her name? What's her name?
It's in the neighborhood.
What's her name that's in that Albert Brooks movie, An Airplane? What's her name?
Julie
Haggerty, is it?
Yes, Julie Haggerty.
And Marcus from the Indiana Jones movies. What's his name? I forget his name. He's in it. Anyway, it's fantastic, dude. The all-star cast. And it's, do you know the story of the show at
They're like putting
the
on a play, right?
Right.
They're putting on a play.
And so the play version is they show you their dress rehearsal before they open.
Yep.
And then act two, it's a play in three acts. Act two is when they've already been doing the show for a while, and they show you the entire backstage of what's going on backstage.
Uh-huh.
And then, so it's all silent. Backstage. And then act three is when they're like full on, like in the thick of it, because it's all about like their relationships and how they're like pissed off at each other. And it's a full 100% farce.
Right.
And it's fucking great.
There are at least seven doors on that stage.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. That's how you know it's a farce.
I think of that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of
count the doors.
Got to be a lot of entrances and exits. Like,
where's chunk, chunk, chunk. Who's going where? What props?
You just missed. Yeah. Lady Featherbottom.
Yes. And people like wearing the same thing. Like, this is that person. No, it's not. That's that person. But they were wearing a sheet and you didn't know. And
that's like classic.
It's fucking great,
right,
dude.
Right.
You are going to lose your mind when you see it.
Good,
it's
good.
So good.
Good, good, good. I can't wait for you to get it.
And then the last one that I posted was Disney's A Goofy Movie.
Which that has zero.
Which you're wearing a shirt for.
I am literally wearing
right now.
A Powerline shirt.
That's funny. I was trying to figure out what your shirt was about.
Right.
And then I was like, I have no idea. What that
song is my jam for a while.
About.
I love that.
Yeah, dude. This is Powerline.
I have Powerline. This means nothing to me.
Powerline
is a fictional pop star.
Is basically if you took
Goofy.
The best parts of Michael Jackson and Prince and combined them, and then he would be the star of
that. Is what that character is.
And,
right.
But
yeah.
And Goofy. But he's Goofy.
But he's
well, he's not
goofified.
Goofy. He's in
he's
the goofy movie.
He's a goofy character.
He's a dog, I think.
The character's a dog. I mean, like, I'm looking at it.
I believe
definitely
he's
a dog.
A dog
person.
He's a Disney dog.
Disney
person.
Dog,
man. Yeah.
Which is either Goofy or what's his name?
But the kind that walks and talks, not like Pluto.
But
Pluto,
Goofy movies.
Makes no sense.
Pluto's
a dog.
I was like, I have to pick a Disney movie. Like, what Disney movie, like, affected me the most? Like, I was like, I gotta pick Goofy movie, I think. Because, like, it just, I saw it in theaters.
That's a big question.
And, right. And, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not a princess guy, obviously. Like, the princess movies
you
didn't
might
really.
Be. I don't know.
Right. But, like, I'm not. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, the princess movies didn't, like,
have you
affected
tried
me or,
because. because.
But
you know.
Can you paint with all the colors of the wind?
And so, like, those movies didn't really, they weren't for me necessarily.
Sure.
If you're going, like, demographic wise or whatever.
Right.
Like, I enjoy the shit out of Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and all those.
Oh, yeah.
You know, great movies that came out at that time.
You, right.
But it's not like I was more of a Hercules kid because, like, that's more of an action, adventure, punch, whatever.
Lion King.
Right.
Would be mine.
Yeah, Lion King.
For
Aladdin
sure.
is another one
yeah.
where it's
oh,
in there,
yeah.
and it's like, man, oh, man. But I was like, Goofy movie, like, the story of it's just so good, and, like, it's a father son story. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you should see Goofy movie.
All right. You know, it'll, yeah.
Because I was trying to
need a little bit more convincing.
You feel a little more
for
Goofy after watching a Goofy movie.
So you've seen it?
I've seen it. Heck yeah, man.
Okay. All
right,
good.
Dude, I should play you the song right now.
I
and
watched,
you'd be like,
I rented that VHS and I watched it over and over again. I love
all
that
right.
movie.
You know, that's so funny because, like, literally,
solid.
Like, this means nothing to me. like, as far as, like, any kind of, like,
sure.
oh, yeah, yeah. Like, oh, I remember hearing about this. Nope. Nothing. Like, nothing. So.
You're going to play the song?
I'm going to find it. Somebody pick another movie that's on their list while
so,
I look it up.
There
what's
was...
What'd you say?
I said Go Beach.
Oh, I thought you said The Village. I was like, what now?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
I like that movie.
That movie was the first and only time I was ever stood up for a date, so I got bad.
Oh, that'll happen.
I know.
That'll happen.
I was like, but she's not.
Yeah.
But the movie's starting and she's not here. Oh, man.
This movie sucks.
The movie does suck.
It's Schindler's List. It's like so good. No, it sucks. dang it. What was I going to say? There was a movie that the stupid movie.
Really? You have no idea?
No idea. Yeah, well, I had an idea, and not only that, I'm holding it like cocked in the chamber, waiting to like, okay, here we go. I'm going to show this.
Forgot.
And yeah, we got distracted.
Well, while you think of it, I'm going to play a little bit of Eye to Eye from Goofy Movie.
It's even like a very Michael Jackson-y intro.
Dude, it's fucking great, man. I also like Stand Out.
It is kind of
Stand Out's probably the better song, but I like this one more.
This is absolutely Michael Jackson with the little prince in it.
Oh, and yeah. And then when you watch like the animation,
you watch him move,
of him doing it.
Yeah, it's very
much. You think they model it after
both of them?
Totally.
Both of them.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Most people don't know this movie, and it blows my mind.
I don't know it.
Well, you're one out of three. You're only 33%. I feel like, I don't know, most people I know this movie. Maybe I haven't talked about it, so I could be wrong. Jared is rocking out.
I can't help it.
I can't help it. Yes,
I
love it.
No one can hear the music. It just looks
so
like a
new old
music
video.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Put it in I love
Dude,
that.
It's cool. Fucking great. And all the rest of the songs
I remember
great
the first
too.
Time I watched now, it being like surprised at how good the music was. It's like,
right?
Wow,
it's
that's
a good.
Like,
and the storyline is.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
Yep. It's about. So do you know Goofy's son, Max? Do you know Goof
nope.
Troop at all? Like
nope.
Goofy has a kid?
Nope.
Like,
yeah, Goofy's
you don't know
son
any of that?
Max.
Nope.
So there was a big popular TV show in the 90s called Goof Troop.
Yep.
And it was
okay.
about Goofy as the dad and his son, Max.
Okay.
And
did the show come first or the movie come first?
I think the movie might have come first.
I don't remember.
But I don't remember.
They
but
both
anyway.
Anyway.
So it's about the movie is about him and his son, Max. And like, Max is like a crazy teenager that got in trouble at school, and Goofy's like, well, I've been trying my best, and
yeah.
And then his neighbor Pete, who is Pete from Disney,
he's
you
Pete.
Probably know uh-huh. who he is, he's like, well, you gotta get him under your thumb and you know, treat him,
get control
of that crazy yeah. teenager. And then he gets in trouble at school, and like the principal calls, and he's like, "You'd want your son to end up in the electric chair?" Like it's like super,
super
like
wow.
super crazy.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But then Goofy's like freaking out, like my son's
well,
going crazy.
Freaking up in the electric chair,
right? And so he like gets his idea.
Yeah, is that Goofy?
That was pretty
close,
decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was doing Pluto or not. So.
No, Pluto's
Pluto doesn't talk.
Well, oh, Pluto doesn't talk. That's right. Talk.
Which makes no sense. They're both dogs. Anyway,
so, he gets the idea to take his son on a fishing trip. Because that's what his dad used to do with
right.
it.
And that's how they bonded and how he can, yeah.
And he's like, I'll take my son on the fishing trip. But then his son wants to watch the Powerline concert because his crush is going to be at the party watching the Powerline concert on TV.
Yeah.
And so that's what he wants to do. But then he gets dragged away to go on this thing. And then it's just crazy. It's all sorts of crazy stuff. So
interesting.
Yeah. It's cool. It's
and
a
then,
good movie.
Yeah. And then, like, conflict ensues with, like, him wanting to do this and his dad wanting to do this. And yeah. then... they come together as a family, and it's fucking great, man.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a little bit of synchronicity, mentioning that Pluto doesn't talk, but Goofy does.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the movie that I was going to talk about.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah, which was do you know what, just from that, do you know what that would be?
Pluto doesn't
talk. Why doesn't Pluto talk?
Oh, my
God.
Know. What movie is that?
That is weird.
Wait, no, I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, my goodness.
About.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, wait.
It's like Dazed and Confused or
Clerks?
Something.
No.
No, it's not Clerks.
Let's see.
It sounded right for a second.
Who do you think would win in a fight? Superman or Wonder... No, Superman or Mighty Mouse? That's stupid.
What?
Mighty Mouse is a cartoon. Superman's a real guy.
What is this? Why
God,
it
I know
sounds
what
super
it is.
Familiar.
Like, I know what you're talking about.
Am I in the right? Is it Kevin Smith movie? Am I
nope.
in the right?
No.
It sounds like Kevin Smithy.
But you both recognize both of those lines.
Absolutely.
Now this, which is a brilliant like exposition of our long-time played game of movie trivia,
right.
Which is just naming, and then you start with a, you start with an it's more like, abstract, and then you get to the most easiest
ones. Is it Big Lebowski?
No.
Damn it.
No. No. And then all right, let's see if we can come up with another movie, another line.
There's going to be a line that he's going to say that it gives it away.
Well, right. I don't want to give it away too quickly, but like
we're drowning on this podcast.
You
want to
play with our emotions
dude.
A little bit longer?
No, everybody's along for the ride.
No, oh, everyone's yelling the answer.
Exactly.
Jared, you're Richard, stupid. Dumb.
Why don't you guys get it? Sorry, audience, we don't know.
So, okay.
Is it a Tarantino movie?
Nope.
Damn it.
No.
It's got that dialogue. It's like Kevin too. Smith, Terrence. It's like
it
one dialogue-y. Of those dialogue movies.
It is very dialogue.
It's an Aaron Sorkin movie.
It's not Aaron Sorkin.
Okay.
Is it a Quiet Place?
All right. How about this one? You know, it's so funny, dude. I was in the line today at the grocery store, and Quiet Place was on sale on DVD.
They have it out.
On DVD. And so I took a picture of it on the in the thing. I was like, oh, I'm going to use this.
You didn't
picture,
hurt that movie, did
picture
you?
For something. Yeah.
In the store.
And I was like, look over there. Stupid movie. I'm saving somebody from this stupid movie. The police are dragging me off in handcuffs.
You don't understand. I hated it.
It was so quiet.
Dad,
you
hear
don't understand. Can you hear me? Because you won't when you watch the movie. It's too quiet.
Give me a line.
All right, another line. Another line would be... okay, here we go. You'll get it from this one. All right, this one's too easy. But it's going on too long, so we'll do it anyway. Chopper, sick balls.
I don't know.
Really?
I
still don't really? Know. I thought for sure you'd get it from that.
Nope. Chopper,
okay.
Sick balls. Just tell me the movie.
Sick balls. It's Stand By Me.
Damn it.
Oh.
Damn it.
And so that's a movie that particularly like Broadcast News and some other ones that was one that was like, ooh, when I saw that, even though I wasn't at that age.
I should have known that.
I was
severely
teenager, you know, maybe even young 20s when
I mean,
saw
I haven't
it.
Seen that movie in over a decade. So
it's been a while.
I'll give myself a pass for that.
But for me personally, like, and I think a lot of folks, for me personally, like that movie, like, oh, it spoke to me, you know, especially sure. like I read, that was a movie that I read the book too. And the book goes into a little bit more detail about the kind of like the angle of the story where Chris Chambers is telling the Stephen King character, forget his Gordy, that he needs to cut himself free. He's like, don't you know your friends are going to drag you down? And he has a dream in the book, he has a dream about being in the water and reaching down and trying to get up to the water and reaching down. And he has his friends holding on to his ankles and he's drowning because his friends are holding him down.
Yeah.
And in the movie, they don't do that in the movie, but in the movie he talks about that. He's like, don't you know your friends drag you down, man? You need to cut loose of us and you need to move on.
Jeez.
And he's like, no way, man. Mm-hmm. Like, we're friends. This is, anyway, God, it's so good. And it's just one of those movies that like, it connects to the child in you. You know, it's like they're like 12. You know, it really connects to the child in you very well. And
Stephen King,
big strong resonation.
Knows
with that
how
one.
To write. It's so weird to say, but like Stephen King knows how to write kids.
Yeah,
like of the era before like cell phones and stuff. Like kids of the 80s and prior.
Uh-huh.
He understands that thing very well.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, E.T. It's like how Spielberg got it too. Like
people
he understood
in general pretty well too.
No, that is true.
Yeah, I think it probably his children.
He's definitely better at writing kids than a lot of other people.
Yeah,
are,
yeah.
Sure.
Well, and especially it's easier to talk about kids in that because it is so different now.
Right.
Than the experience of being a child is so different.
Well, and I think what
I'm
makes,
assuming
and
it's
I think
been
what,
so long.
And I think what makes Stephen King's I think what makes his kids not kid stories but stories about kids so good is that he writes them sort of as adults.
Yeah.
Like they're not, but like that's how we were as kids. Like we would
or
have,
how we at least thought we were.
Right. We would have intellectual conversations, so we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they're not as like grandiose as they are in the movies or whatever, or in his books.
Yeah.
But like we weren't just like these, I don't know.
Herp-a-der-der.
Right. We weren't just dumb kids. Like we would have conversations. We would go on adventures. We would ride our bikes at the end of the tracks and see what's down the hill. And like, like, you know what? Like
have
we would do that kind of stuff. Like we would talk the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember using your imagination like crazy.
Oh yeah.
I remember getting in a little ditch that couldn't have been more than like 4 feet wide and probably 5 feet long.
Yeah.
hours and days and weeks on end with little army men. My God. Yep. Yeah. And just having so much fun. So much fun. Having a pile of dirt and just climbing up this pile of dirt over and over again. Yep. Like, and having so much fun.
Kids are still kids.
I would hope so. I really hope so.
I do like a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs. So I see like
the kids play.
I see the kids playing.
And they still do that thing.
And it's like, yeah, they had like a water gun fight at this bar mitzvah.
Right on. That's cool.
So. And like, there's a boy and a girl that the kids are all trying to like. They like, oh, you run over there and talk to her, and then run back and talk to him, and then run back and forth.
That's cute.
Kids are still kids. That's all right, great. That's cool.
Outdoors as much.
It's comforting. It's like reinforcing. Totally. Like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, because I do like to believe that like we're in good hands. You know, they're going to take care of us.
Yeah.
You know, just like we took care of things. Hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
I guess we have to finish our job and then we hand it off to them. So I'm curious, like where we're at. In this episode,
because time-wise,
yeah, because
hour 40.
Okay, because the reason I ask is that like the topic that we have is rich.
Oh yeah, we can stop whenever we want.
But also it's something that we can revisit. At any time.
So we can stop if we want to.
Hour and 40 is pretty good.
I think we mentioned a bunch of good stuff.
A lot of stuff. Yeah.
I've got more on my list for next time.
A lot more.
Good. We might do it next week. We don't know what's coming up next week.
Right. So. Well, and that's the thing. Like the thing with the whole like Facebook challenge. Like normally I'm like, man, somebody tagged me. I'm not going to post my 16th picture or whatever stupid thing.
Right.
But like for some reason I was like, man, I love movies. Like if they did the same thing with like TV shows, like what TV shows were like big when you were a kid, like that affected your whatever. Like,
yeah.
I could do that, too. And right. So, like, this is a good topic.
And it kind of really worked out well because it was like, I was like, you know what? Jared's already got enough. And we can talk about movies, like, you know, so easily. So I'm like, I did write down a few, but it was like, I don't think I'm even going to start my list. You know, we're just going to start.
And then I threw you under the bus.
You did, but I think I got them all. In fact, I didn't even write down all Stand By Me, but I remember that was one that would be on my list, too. Nice. So, we got plenty more to talk about. Plenty.
And we want to know what yours are, too.
Oh, for
sure.
Post
them to our Instagram.
Call in, post on Instagram.
Yeah.
Please.
Go to movies. Comforting movies. Else,
just put them on Facebook. Like, I should share some of mine on the Facebook page through Instagram.
Well, in the next 5 days, you're halfway through or so?
I am. Yes.
You're halfway through, so.
But now I'm second-guessing myself, because, like, Back to the Future is one of the ones that I was going to put.
Right.
Because that movie, like changed my life as far as like movie experiences go.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this movie's great. Like it has everything in it. And it's like, and it's so well written. And so so much about that movie is so great. Like it's even listed as like one of the perfect movies as far as like the AFI films list or something like that goes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where it's like a perfect movie.
It is one of those movies
for
sure.
And I'm like, but do I, everyone picks Back to the Future. So I was like, I could dig in my brain like for better stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm like,
I like your pick so far.
And so
like
I'm like, maybe I'll pick.
I mean, there's a reason everyone picks certain things.
Right. There's like Forrest Gump's on there
really
too. Like I might still post about Forrest Gump.
Don't tell Beth Accomando.
I know. I seriously want to know why she hates it so much. I don't understand.
We need to get her back on.
We need to get her back on.
And also
on
to find out what she thinks about Top Gun 2.
We could do an entire episode about talking about Forrest Gump.
I don't understand. Do you like the movie?
You know, the more I've watched it, I have like, I used to be like, I love it, like way far on the right, on this side of the meter.
Sure.
And then I've watched it other times, so I was like, I hate this stupid movie.
Why?
And then other times I've been like right in the middle, like, this movie's good.
What about it makes you hate it?
It's like my interpretation of, because this could go off on a whole thing, I'll be brief. But my interpretation of Forrest and Jenny's relationship highly affects how I feel about the movie.
No, it is very true.
And that interpretation has changed over time.
Sure. So,
okay, that's interesting, because now I'd like to watch it again and see and kind of pay attention to that.
Yeah.
No, it is very upsetting.
Where I've landed, though, makes me appreciate the movie. So, like,
cool. Well, that's going to be fun to talk about.
Very upsetting.
That'll be fun to talk about.
Very upsetting. But anyway.
Oh, how exciting. For another time.
Yeah.
Woop, woop, woop. Excellent.
So I don't know if that's going to be on there. You know what I mean? I like, because when I first did it, I was like, I'm just going to download them all now so I don't have to think about it later. And then I keep posting them and I'm like, I want to post something like a musical. Because that had a big effect on me. Like I want like a musical.
So you're into those.
One of the ones that I watched when I was a kid, and I didn't realize that I could do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Where I was like, I used to watch Seven Brides for Seven Brothers all the time, or like Sound of Music all the time, and I didn't realize that was a thing that I could do because I was too busy playing baseball.
Right.
But then when I got into theater and didn't I realized it, and I was like, oh shit, there's like musical theater is a thing. Like, I didn't even know. Same like, as dumb as that sounds,
wait,
like,
people do this?
turning a sweet double play, or like, right. or like, right. you know, or like reaching that high fastball and like driving into connecting, the gap, yeah. you know, and you're like, fucking theaters that kept me from like doing this as good as I could
have been one of the great ones.
Yeah, I could have been a contender.
I could have been great. So, Babe Ruth, who?
That's cool. It's yeah. so good. We got plenty so, anyway. To talk about. And so, but before we wrap it all up,
oh, yeah.
I'm excited about tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the 30th, which is the episode comes out. So yay. So you'll listen to that. That's today.
Yes, it is.
For a lot
today
of folks.
In future time.
I'm talking about today. This afternoon, I'm meeting, tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
I'm meeting with John Moen, who is the drummer in the band Decemberists.
Ooh.
And I can't believe I've never mentioned that before.
Nope. I had no idea.
I really never mentioned this. Yeah. Nope. So you've heard of the Decemberists?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
everyone's heard of the Decemberists.
Not everybody.
Well, I guess. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they're a band.
They're a pretty big band.
Pretty big band.
They're a large
band. And so the drummer for the band is my best friend Tom's nephew.
Huh.
And so I've had a connection to the band for a long time. And so whenever they come to town, it's one of those cool things that, like, he leaves tickets and backstage passes, you know, at will call. So you walk up and, like, I'm BJ Lorenzo. Here's your tickets and here's your backstage. You know, and then you hang out.
Right
and it's really cool. It's really cool. And besides, the band is great.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're really good. And so anyway, so he's essentially a friend of the family. Like, this is one of the few families that, honestly, I feel like this is extended family of mine.
Where you're like Uncle BJ, basically.
Though I'm probably one of the youngest.
Sure.
I'm part of the family.
Right.
Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, Tom and I have been, like, adored each other for years, and so we've been close forever.
That's awesome.
And so... I want to talk to John because he's in the Decemberists. They've been on Letterman. They've been on Colbert. They've been on a lot of shows.
Wow.
So he's been able to do a lot of cool things,
right.
Including being in a big, fantastic rock band that tours the world, which is awesome, which would be fun to talk about. But they've been, especially since they're from Portland, they've been on The Simpsons, and they've been immortalized having their own characters.
Yep, they are a Simpson.
Their own Simpson characters.
Simpsons.
They've been Simpsonized.
They've been Simpsonized. So John has been Simpsonized.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and like I gotta find his perspective on that.
That's
like,
so cool.
Because to me, that is mind blowing.
Oh yeah.
That's like, by the way, we found an old I Love Lucy, and we're gonna put you in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Really? Like really? Well, I Love Lucy is still running. Like,
whatever happens
years
with
later.
The band.
Yeah.
You're always on The Simpsons.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
The Simpsons don't go away. It's just
right.
Yeah.
Just part of it.
And so, and besides that, he's very funny and he's a really cool guy. And so I'm excited to do that tomorrow. So that might, I don't know what.
Well, you didn't say you were going to sit down and talk with him. You didn't say
that. Oh, I didn't say that. Sorry.
Right.
I'm sitting down and I'm meeting with him tomorrow.
Right.
They're playing a concert tomorrow night.
Where at?
At Humphreys by the Bay.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to the concert at night, but during the afternoon, I'm going to meet up with him and have lunch, and then we're going to record a little something. During lunch.
Yeah.
And so,
Speaking of, your little something that you recorded with Dave was solid, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, good.
That's
okay,
great.
Good.
That was good stuff.
Good.
I wish I could have been there because I love Dave, but like that worked out really well, I thought. That was a good.
I was happy with it.
It was good stuff.
And
you got a little distracted by a squirrel trying to jump on his head. But,
I did get a picture of that too. I should post that picture because I do have a picture of the squirrel that was like, you know, these during the day. That's another thing. When the flies are out, the sun is out. The sun is out, the flies are out.
Absolutely.
And then the squirrels are out. And so, because we interviewed Dave during the day too. And so it was, I interviewed Dave during
the
day.
No, it was good. It was good. So I'm looking forward to what you got with
Mr. Moen, John Moen.
That's going to be cool. But for all you fans out there, thanks for listening, tuning in, and all that good stuff. And we'll come at you soon with some more goodies. But for now, this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge! Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
could I do? Okay, all right.
Take a look at me. Get the picture fixed in your memory. I'm driven by the rhythm like the beat of a heart. And I won't stop until I start to stand out. To stand out. Some people settle for the typical thing. Living all their lives waiting in the wings. It ain't a question of if, just a matter of time.
Notice me.